Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. It's one of the last presentations of the APHA conference. And, okay, my name is Camille Edwards. And and there are no financial relationships to disclose. Allow me to reiterate what we've already heard before from Ms. Carter and my other colleagues, but we know that we need data to support data, that we need more data so that we can get something done, as Sarah Jones said. So that's what we're giving you, more data. And how this program started, we have Planned Parenthood started a pilot program to disseminate sexual and reproductive health information to women in prison in Philadelphia. There are 5 county prisons on a campus, and 4 of them are for men, and 1 of them is for women. And currently, there are 768 beds at this prison, and we have about 1,000-plus inmates currently. So people are sleeping in multi-purpose rooms and that kind of thing. But our education manager at Planned Parenthood, Ms. Karen Fitchett-Gordon, thought it'd be a brilliant idea, since we have a big education department and we do sexual and reproductive health in schools in Philadelphia, and we thought it'd be a great idea to do the same thing with women in prison. So we got a new public health enthusiast, myself, and we went in, we dove in, and we didn't really know what to expect at first, so this is what we found through the program. And so the background research, we learned that women in prison is the fastest growing population, which we've already heard, but the trend is even more prominent in local jails, which is where I was, at the Riverside. And it's, as you can see, it's about triple or quadruple. And most of the arrests and the incarceration is as a result of the war on drugs and what they call petty crimes, shoplifting, credit card fraud, those kind of things. Also called survival crimes, because people, women do these things in order to feed their families and to survive. So because of that, we have overcrowding at the women's jail. The profile of the women that I worked with, they're disproportionately women of color. This is also the national profile. And most of them are in their early to mid-30s. They have a lot of mental health problems, drug abuse problems, sexual and physical trauma in their background. Most of them have children, minor children, that they're taking care of. And a lot of them do have high school experience, but very usually they're not graduating. So the majority of them have been to high school, but they haven't actually completed. And that's the national, and that also corresponds with what we saw at Riverside. And this is how we break down in Philadelphia the population that I served. As you can see, the largest group comes from North Philadelphia, which is also known as the most impoverished section of Philadelphia. So that corresponds nationally. And most of the women were between the age group, where's my arrow? We're between the age group of 30 to 39. Most of them were African American. And most of them had been to high school but not completed, and they were parents of minor children. Okay, so what we did is we formulated a pretest and post-test to test their knowledge of sexual and reproductive health issues before and after they completed the program. And the program was 4 weeks long, 4 to 6 weeks long, depending, because as you know, when you go into the jail, you never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So you could go in expecting to have a class, and there's a lockdown or, you know, myriad issues. So it was between 4 to 6 weeks, and we did a pretest, and at the end, with people who were still there, because it's a short-term facility. Most people are not supposed to stay there past 2 years. However, we do have some folk in the shadows that have been there as long as 7 years, but they don't like to talk about that. And so what happens is a lot of people come in 1 week, 1 month, that kind of thing. You never know when someone's leaving because they might go to court and something happens. And so it's a revolving door. So the person that you just saw leave could come back in another month or so and be in the class again. So we did that, and whoever was there at the end, like I said, we were able to post-test them. We also did reaction cards. After each class, we asked them to give us comments based on what they had learned that day and how they felt about it. And through that, we were able to get a good idea of what they were learning and what effect it was having on them and how beneficial it was or not. With some of the women, we were able to do individual interviews, which we call intakes, and we were able to get more detailed information about their health history, their family history, mental health background, drug history, that kind of thing. We weren't able to do it with most of the women because, as I said, there's a lot of maneuvering that you have to do within the prison. So, but it was very informative what we were able to get. So we used some of the data from that. And so we wanted to serve 200 women. That was our big idea going in. And so, but we ended up serving about 98, about 100 women. And out of that, 25 of them were juveniles. They do house juveniles at this women's jail. And the juveniles have to be commit aggravated assault or some kind of murder in order to come to that prison. Some of them come from the juvenile justice system, and some of them come directly into the prison. Okay. So what we found out is that women were learning a lot from the very first day. And I had a lot of women that were older, that had children before. They didn't know what it was about, Planned Parenthood, this pregnancy, abortion. But once they came in, they really were excited to be learning about themselves and their bodies and to have a class that just focused on me as a woman and my health. So the response after they got there was really overwhelming. And a lot of women who thought they wouldn't learn anything were surprised to know what they didn't know. So that was really gratifying for myself. And they reported that they felt really great because they were learning stuff, and it was about me, and they felt that they could use the information, and they felt that after they left, they would access services that they wouldn't before. Because what we tried to reinforce is that everyone is worthy of good health, regardless of their situation. A lot of these women, as was said before, are coming from poor environments, impoverished neighborhoods, and coming from a background of drug abuse, mental health problems, and so forth. So as a result of the class, they had a better view of themselves, according to them and their comments. So they felt more empowered to take care of themselves, and they said they would seek out health services. And they also were very excited to teach their children about a lot of the things that we were talking about. They felt more able to make good decisions as a result of the class. So I'm going to move on here. What we decided is that for our next year of service, we would base it on what the research and what we found, that services to women needs to be comprehensive. It needs to be very trauma sensitive. It needs to take into account all of the myriad issues that women face, the fact that they're mothers to minor children, that they have these backgrounds. Like she said, sexual abuse, most of them were sexually abused from the age of 5 to 7, very young. And so a lot of the prison system does not take that into account and is not trauma sensitive. It's very patriarchal and tends to penalize women for being women. So we decided that any intervention that we did in the future needs to take these things into account. We can't resolve all the problems of the prison system, but in our sexual and reproductive health education piece, we want to be sensitive to what these women need. So we need to take into account their families and their sexual partners by getting them involved through some kind of advocacy and education. And we need to offer contraceptive services immediately, because a lot of the women, like I said, they're in and out. So if you don't get them that first time, you may not get them. And if you're able to offer them services, give them contraception, and make an appointment for them to follow up, then that we feel that, according to the research and according to what we saw, that would be very effective for them. because their captive audiences, once they're incarcerated, a lot of them don't receive any services. As was said before, they don't receive any services. They're not receiving medication. They're not receiving pap smears and gynecological exams while they're out on the street. But once they're in the jail, we have more of an opportunity to have them get that. And so if we immediately begin services and give them an opportunity for follow-up, we feel that that would be very effective. And so we want to schedule them for a gynecological exam immediately, register them for the sex health education course, and also schedule them for a follow-up with Planned Parenthood or another clinic, and also provide means for reimbursement for transportation for them to get there, because that's also a barrier for them receiving services. We also need to give them information, because they love information. They love to, you know, find out. Everybody does. You like to find out stuff about yourself. Who doesn't like to talk about themselves and learn about themselves? And I found that they were very receptive to all the information, but also that they disproportionately suffer from chronic diseases, and we need to provide information about that too. Every cancer you can think of, diabetes, heart disease, anything, any disease that you can really think of, they are disproportionately affected by. So we found that having information resources, and I give that to them according to their requests. If they ask me about certain subjects, I have a whole file drawer with tons and tons of information to give to them. And I encourage them to go online. And that's really exciting, too, to go online and look up whatever it is that they need to talk about or they need to learn about. And so we decided that as we continue on, we're going to make our program more receptive to women's needs and more in line with what the research calls for to be more effective, which is continuing the classes, but also adding these other things. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a great panel, huh? So let's do some questions now. Who would like to start that?